Bible with you this morning, if you'd turn with us to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22. I'd like to read two verses today for a text verse of Luke 22 and verse number 31. Luke 22, verse 31. The Bible said, and it does matter what the Bible says. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Boy, I'm glad I ain't. Oh, I'm glad I ain't his this morning. I was his a long time, but one day at Bloody Calvary, Jesus died. I'm glad the Holy Ghost come by, dealt with my heart, showed me I was a sinner. I came to Christ by faith. No longer does the devil got a hold on me. I'm glad I'm a child of God. And since I swapped tracks, He desires to have me back. He says, but Satan hath desired to have you. He don't want to help me. He don't want to benefit me. He wants to destroy me. That he may sift you as wheat. In other words, when you sift wheat, it takes away everything. That's what he's wanting us to do this morning is sift our lives. Take the things out of our life that is good. And you know what Jesus will do? He'll take out the bad and leave the good. But Satan will take out the good and leave the bad. Now he says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And watch this. When thou art converted, or when you're changed, when you're strengthened, when you got the ground under your feet, strengthen thy brethren. You may be seated this morning. We love you, Lord. I want to bless you how you've helped me in my life. I want to thank you that I'm no longer a child of the devil. I want to thank you, God, one day you saved me. I want to thank you one day that you sealed me with the Spirit of God. Lord, I want to thank you that you're seeing about me now all the days of my life. And as the psalmist David said, Lord, in the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I thank you for that promise and that hope that I have in my life this morning. Help us now to be a blessing in a few minutes. Use us for your honor and your glory, I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I'm interested today in 31 and 32. The Lord said, Simon, Simon. I won't preach on this subject today. Simon, Simon. Now, I want you to notice there's three things in this passage of Scripture that I read. First of all, there's a danger before us. Number two, there are some devices against us. But number three, thank God, there is a defense for us. Now, I want to say that by way of introduction to this sermon today, in 1995, America was polled, and it came back that nearly 50% of Americans didn't even believe that the devil was a real devil. I wonder today if we polled America, since people are acting so crazy and foolish. I'm sure it's over 50% now, but let me tell you something your preacher does know. There is a devil. You say, how you know God's so real? Because I know the devil is real. But I sure am glad that our God is greater than the devil. Now, it won't take you long after you get saved that you'll soon find out there is a real devil. I don't preach a lot on the devil. I don't like to give him a lot of time. But I do believe as the pastor, as the under-shepherd of this church, I am to teach the people of God about our adversary, the devil. Young people, there's a real devil. Older people, there's a real devil. Now notice in this text, you'll find out that the danger that is before us. Verse 31, Brother Adam, look at this address. Brother Mike, look at the address. He says, now watch your Bible. Now I'm not going to preach long today. Stop. A lot of y'all, it's Labor Day trying to get your grill ready for this evening. Simon, Simon, watch this address. You know what that tells me about me and you, our humanity, and our prone to failure. Just because God saved you one day don't mean that your flesh got saved. Wouldn't that be a blessing if our flesh got saved? But one day we're going to have a glorified body. It'll be likened unto His glorious body. And this flesh won't bother us anymore. But until that happens, you better be sure that you are human. And I'm human. He said, Simon, Simon. Why'd he use that? Thought his name was Peter, preacher. It is, but Simon was his old earthly name. And God reminded him really just without Christ who he is. Let me tell you, our best day we're a speck of dirt. I love what the Hendersons sang. Just an old speck of dirt. But honey, I'm glad one day Jesus come by and took my sins. Hallelujah, made something out of me in spite of who I was. And so he said, Simon, Simon, there is a great address. It shows our humanity. It shows our vulnerability. No one is immune under my voice today of the wiles of the devil. Just because you love God don't mean that you're not human. And they, some of us, a lot more human than others. Now the address, number two, look what he says. Now, it'll do you good to underline these things in your Bible when they appear. Not only the address, but look at the admonition. He says, behold, in verse 31. If you write in your Bible, circle it. Behold. Other words, it brings attention. You know what the Holy Ghost just done in your Bible? This is what He just done. He just sounded an alert. Behold! You that's just reading, let the bell go off. Behold! Wake up call. Behold! The admonition. Aren't you glad we got a God that'll warn us? So we see the address and we see the admonition, but then, look in verse 31, we see the adversary. He said, behold, Satan hath desire to have you. Now, I want to say, you might not understand this, but there's no straddling of the fence. You're either a child of God Are you not a child of God? And I want to say today that in this adversary, whether you're a child of God or not, he's still your adversary, the devil. Now, the danger before us. But number two, turn with us in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. And let's look at this teaching of not only the danger before us, but some devices against us. Paul's writing. Look what he says. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. That's what he wants. He wants an advantage in our life. He don't like an even playing field. He'll try to scope you out to get an advantage. A advantage point. He knows things in my life, in your life, in our weaknesses. And that's where he'll dwell. That's where he'll focus at. Because see, the devil's done seen all the replays in the film. He knows where me and you've messed up before. He knows what whets our appetite. So he wants to get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant. And here's the word I want to deal with just a few minutes. Of his devices. His devices. Or his schemes. His format. The way that he plays ball. Let me tell you, you're talking about a cheater. He don't play by the rules. But I'm glad there's a heavenly referee this morning that'll blow a whistle on that rascal from time to time and throw him out. And then he creeps back in. He don't stay on the bench long. And so we see we're not ignorant of his devices. Now, the danger before us, but the devices against us. What is his devices that he uses? I want to say that, first of all, he uses the devices of our desires. In James 1 and verse number 14, James 1 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "But every man is tempted." Now, I want to say this today, and you always remember this. Every temptation that comes in our life, a temptation is a visitation from sin. Now, it says every man is tempted when he's, what? Drawn away from where? From God. From the Bible. From Holy Ghost living. Look, when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. I've got a little old cat at home. He thinks he's going to be a mountain lion. I let him in to encourage Renee a little last night. He bounced off the recliner. Busted up right there on the chair where I was at, and he went to hissing at me. I took my finger and done this over the pillar. That little rascal charged at me and slapped my finger. You know what I was doing with him? Enticing him. Bring me some, cat. He'd run over there and sit on the pillar, and I'd raise my finger above the pillar, and I'd do this one, two times. He'd perk his ears up. He'd just charge and swat at me. And they said, "You're making that thing so mean, we won't never be able to do nothing with it." I said, "Well, let me tell you what. He loves to respond by enticement." That's the way the devil loves. He loves to entice us. And I'm going to tell you this, he knows what we like. Now, watch your Bible. Then, and I'm going to say, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Did you know that if every one of us got the punishment of sin before it started, we never would fool with it? But when sin's finished, and it might take a night, may take a week, may take a few years, may take a lifetime, but you always remember this, sin will bring forth one thing, death. Matter of fact, it won't take you long to be playing with sin. Sin will be playing you. You ever notice how sin is fun for a little while, and then it got bigger in you and you get to hating it? Well, that's the way it is with the child of God. When the Holy Ghost lives in you, you're not going to like sin very long. Matter of fact, you're not going to like it over a day when you go to meddling with it again. But before you got saved, that sin didn't bother you, did it? But now that the Spirit of God lives in us, you know something I've noticed about the Spirit of God? He don't like sin. And He loves to have room inside me to move around. He don't like to be crowded with things. Now I want to say this. When it's finished, it brings forth death. And when every man's tempted, he's drawn away of his own lust and entice. I want to say this. Watch your desires. The devil loves to use the device of desires. You see, our lust, when we are enticed, and when we give right away to our old desires, there's a doorway opened up in our lives. And you know what doorway is opened up for the devil so many times that young people don't realize is our mind and our eyes. The older you get, and you'll know this, your mind to hit rewind. That's why we need to guard our children from what their eyes see, what their mind and ears hear. Because I'm going to tell you what, these old desires that are built in us, we don't need to fan the flame on nothing that's not of God. You know, the device of the devil, he loves to use our desires, that old nature. And when we feel that thing rise in our heart and our spirit, come across our mind, the best thing we can do is change position. Go in another direction. Don't get trapped in your mind. Now, I want to say that the device is he uses desire. Number two, I'll tell you another thing that the devil loves to use. And now, we're not ignorant of his device. He wants an advantage over us. Not only does he use desires, but he uses distractions. And you don't have to turn there because I can find it pretty quick. But in Nehemiah chapter number 6, you know Nehemiah the wall builder. Oh, what a Bible character was Nehemiah. If you want to know how to be in good leadership, just read the book of Nehemiah. What a leader Nehemiah was. He viewed the walls of Jerusalem after he got word. He went out there and the walls were tore down and the gates were burned with fire. The old temple, the old homeland had been destroyed. And God put a burden in Nehemiah's heart. And he went back to the hometown and he started building with just a few men with him. And all of a sudden the Bible says in Nehemiah 6, if you got a Scofield, it's page 546. The Bible said, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah the Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, and there was no breach left therein, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. Talking about distractions now. But they thought to do me mischief. I sent messengers unto them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner, the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand. And you know what Nehemiah said? The answer is still no. He asked him four times. He sent him a blank check down there and said, just fill it out. He said, I can't come down because I'm doing a great work. Don't be distracted in your Christian life. This world will try its best to distract you. And the devil would love for you to get sidetracked and go to majoring over minor things. Distractions. Don't get distracted in your Christian life. You that are raising families, don't get distracted. You that are being grandparents, being role models, don't get distracted. The devil would love to get you distracted. Now, I want to say that some of his devices, he uses our desires. We got to be careful. We need to put them old desires on the cross every day. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. I've noticed this. Brother Randy taught a message a few years back and it stuck out in my mind about a chainsaw. He was cutting wood and his chain got dull. He stopped and sharpened up that chain. And he said, it sure does cut better with a sharp chain. Don't get distracted with your desires and get off track. Because let me tell you something, it ain't nothing no better than serving God with the joy of the Holy Ghost. That what's in our heart and in our spirit. Now, I want to say that the devil uses distractions. Nehemiah said, I can't come down. Then thirdly, the devil uses discouragement. He'll use difficulties. And I've noticed this, he uses places, people, and problems to discourage you. Discouragement's a real thing. Matter of fact, I used to say, well, you just need to get over it. But sometimes it's just hard to get over it. The devil would love for us to stay so discouraged. I tell you one thing that'll help you, discouragement, if you just get out and do something for somebody else. You just get out of the routine that you're doing, get out and help somebody, be a blessing to them. It'll help your discouragement more than anything. And I want to say, saints of God, that's why we ought to be in the encouraging business. The devil uses enough discouragement. When a preacher preaches a good sermon, you ought to say, there's good preaching, amen. Somebody gets up and sings, you ought to go by and see them, say, that was good singing. We ought to encourage our teachers, we ought to encourage our young people. We ought to not just major on the negatives all the time. The devil loves to discourage you. Then, fourthly, the devil not only uses desires, distraction, and discouragement, but the devil, his devices, he'll use discord. Now, did you know that in Romans 12, verse 8, I want you to find this in your Bible, Romans 12, 18, I want you to underline this verse right here. It's amazing, Brother Jake, when you put the Word of God in you, and then when Christ sees a rise in our heart, the Word of God will come up and rise bigger than the... Look what he says now in Romans chapter number 12. I want you to underline this verse. It'll help you down the road. Look in verse number 18. Let's get 17 because I'm preaching to rednecks this morning. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know why? Because folks is looking at what you're doing. God may be going to win some of them to His Son, and the last thing you need is to have the wrong testimony in front of them. Now watch verse 18. Underline it. If it be possible, as much as, watch, life in you, live peaceably with all men. I'm talking about when you see their car and you know if you stop, you fixing to get into it, the best thing you can do, honey, is drive on down the road and go somewhere else and buy your Oreo double stuff. Everything that is in you, try your best to live peaceably with all men. I don't like confrontation. I don't like it. Don't like it in my home. I've never liked it in the workplace. Never liked it in my family. Sure never liked it in the church. And I'm going to tell you what, the devil loves discord. He loves to get between family, between friends. He loves to get between our church members and our co-workers. The devil loves discord. Did you know that's one of the things that God mentions He hates? Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 6. I won't preach much longer, but Proverbs 6. I want you to notice something here, and I want you to underline this in your Bible. Look what the Holy Ghost penned down in verse 16 about these six things doth the Lord hate. Well, let me tell you what, if God hates them, I don't want them around my life. First of all, proud. Look, me and you ain't done nothing by ourselves. To God be all the glory. We got nothing to gloat about ourselves. The reason you've been so successful and I've been successful, God had people fooled about us. The hand of God's been on us. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And here's my thought. And he that soweth a discord among brethren. I'd be careful what I'd sow because it'll come up. Now, the devil loves to use discord. I want to say one of the biggest things in my life the devil uses is despair. The hopeless cases and the hopeless situations. This is what the devil will paint me a pretty picture. You'll never get out of that. This will never be any better. But I want to remind you today, there's a God in heaven that can do anything this morning. He loves for us to die in despair. He loves to paint a picture, and can't He make it real? You'll never get better. Some of you that have fallen in sin, you've fallen. This is what the devil will tell you. God will never use you again. You can't be used again. Some of you, you've got children and went astray. Well, God will never reach them.
Some of you got homes busted up, and the devil say it can never be put back together again. But honey, I come to tell you today again, the God of heaven can do anything this morning.
He loves for me to crumble in despair. And then, we're not ignorant of His devices. He loves to not only use despair, but He loves to use disguise. You know, addictions are an awful thing. This is what I've never liked about an addiction. It's when things control me. And I think a lot of times that the devil will use disguise on people that you've got to have this drink, you got to smoke this joint, you got to pop this pill. But honey, let me tell you something. There's something a lot greater I'm running on this morning that's in a bottle, that's in a bag. I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God can do things for you and brighten up your day. Let me tell you, if you're here today and addicted to things of this world, the power of the Holy Ghost can still break addictions in this day and this hour. God is greater than your addiction. I don't belittle medicine. God has no doubt given individuals wisdom and knowledge to develop medicine that we all need. Let me tell you something. God never intended for us to put Him to the side and spend our whole life trapped by an addiction. Disguise. The devil loves to disguise. Just a little drinking. Let me tell you the best policy. Don't drink at all. You'll never become a drunk, young people, if you'll never take your first drink. Do you think for one second the devil showed me that 30 years ago I'd be smoking an ounce of weed a week in my life when I smoked the first joint I ever smoked in a barn loft in Middle Tennessee? He didn't show me that. He didn't show me how that thing would totally control my life, nearly let me ruin my marriage and destroy my life. But one day the great addiction breaker came in, honey. He dealt with my heart. I moved with Him toward Calvary, and He set me free. But I say, hallelujah. What a God in heaven that can help us this morning. A little social light drinking. I understand. I know what you say. I can handle it. But what about when you can't? What about when you influence your children with it and they can't handle it? I'm crazy enough without it. Some y'all can hardly wait till October comes. You headed down the druggist getting a quart of NyQuil. I feel sniffles coming. Come on now. We in the country. I'm preaching this morning. Oh, the devil uses disguises. Just a little. Young people, you know how you disguise things that get you in bad trouble? Just a little going over the line. Mom and daddy's not watching. Preacher's not around. But I want to remind you, young people, God's watching. And the devil loves to disguise things that it's really not this bad. Just this little bit, it ain't bad. See, what I never seen is where that little bit would take me. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd have never had nothing. I remember All my girls are gone today and grandkids. Maybe a good time to say this. But I am respectful of your children. And I want you to have a preacher that'll be honest enough to warn your children of where I've been. I wanted to quit that mess so bad and I couldn't. You know how I quit it? This is how I quit it. And I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't one time. It was a consistent change in my heart that I wanted more than anything. And I kept praying and asked God to deliver me. This amazing thing. My wife went to my golf bag for something 30-something years ago. She found some of that I was smoking. This is what she said. She said, "I'm leaving him today. I've had enough of this. I can't take it no more." And I was down yonder at Pepsi Cola. I can tell you where I walked in. The Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. He said, "You're done with that dope today." I left my job. I was in a little Dodge Dakota, Brother Mike. Had a Pepsi emblem on. I drove all the way from Georgia back home. You know where I was headed? I was headed to that golf bag. You know what I done? I went in and got in that golf bag because I know where I was hiding it. Renee come out the door. She said, "Ken, I got something I got to tell you." I said, "Wait, I got something I got to tell you first. Brother Jerry, I've never been able to do this." I pulled that bag of weed out and I shook it on the ground and I kicked it. She turned around, throwed her little hands up toward heaven and said, "Lord, I want to thank you." You said, "Why do you say all that, preacher?" Because the devil had things disguised in my life and just fooling around a little bit. I never seen where it would take me down the road. But God. But God answered our prayer and seen about us. What a God. Brother Vince, it's amazing. God has saved somebody like me. Called me to preach. Oh, I still got issues. But I guarantee you one thing. I done found this out about life. If that's my weakness, I better stay away from it because it's bigger than what I am. Hey, me. His devices. He uses disguises. He uses disappointments. You ever been disappointed at anybody? Let me tell you this. It may be because you ain't got your eyes on Jesus. Because He won't never disappoint you. He'll allow things to hurt you, but He won't harm you. And let me tell you something. God knows what we need. Get your eyes off people. They've disappointed you. Looking unto Jesus. You know something? I tell you. See who I could use. I just want to say this. If I stood every one of y'all up one by one on that platform, and I guarantee you I could turn you and spin you, and sooner or later I'd find something about you that I'd be disappointed in. You know why? Because you're human. Don't let Him use the device of disappointment to totally take you out of the family of God. Then He uses this. I've seen a lot of families do this. I'm about done preaching. You ain't got to hear no sermon tonight. I might as well give you a double barrel this morning. He uses dispersion. You know what I found out the easiest thing to do? but it ain't the right thing to do. From some things, it's easier just to run from it, not deal with it. But this is what's happening when God's wanting me to deal with it, and I turn around and run from it. I'm getting further from God the whole time, and I think I'm helping myself. But I go back up to it. I say, Lord, I'm never there. I need you to help me. This is what the devil had you to do. Just disperse. Go home. Throw the towel in. Too hard. What's the use? Some of you need to reach down and pick that towel up this morning. There's a lot of folks counting on you not to throw the towel in. Let me ask y'all something. Y'all love ball, so? If you got hit in a ball game, you lined up, there's how many on the playing field? 11 or 12 on the team. Somebody say, y'all know, going to say it, 11 or 12. 11, thank you. I can tell you how many's in a golf game, amen. But I wonder if you lined 11 men up right there and lined 11 on the other side. When that ball was snapped and everyone that got hit laid down, who'd be left carrying the ball? Don't you realize the devil's going to let you get hit and he just wants you to just disperse. Get out of the picture. No, the thing you got to do, just like on the ball field in the church, you got to get up. I've been hit so many times. But by the grace of God, He's allowed me to get up. Lastly, I know some of you glad, but lastly, I want to say this. First of all, I want to say I've enjoyed preaching today. Devil's such a liar. The devil's a thief. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. Listen, the devil don't want just to wound you. He wants to destroy you. He wants you out of commission. Because this thing about it, when you wounded limping, you're still pretty effective. He wants you to go home, sit down, and never try it again. That's what he wants you to do. The danger's before us. The device is against us. But lastly, the defense that is for us. Look what this Bible says. Don't never let a preacher tell you what the Bible said, but what the Bible says. This Word of God's not out of date. But I've prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. All right, the defense for us. What is it, preacher? Our advocate. The great high priest, his prayer is always answered. Always. The advocate. Look at the appeal that thy faith fail not. Miss Jennifer, you come this morning, please, sister. Your faith fail not. But that assurance, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You know what I've noticed something about the devil and his devices? We're no match for the devil.
Isn't that something that Michael the archangel in the book of Jude, when he was contending with the body of Moses, God hid Moses. They never knew where that God buried him. You know why? Because there's nearly 5 million people would have built a shrine. They thought so much of Moses. He had led them in and out of so many places. They'd seen things happen so big. God said, Moses, I got to hide you. And the devil knew it, and he contended with the body of Moses with Michael the archangel. You know what Michael the archangel, the strongest angel, said? Devil, the Lord rebuked thee. Now I want to remind you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That lets me know there's a seed in me. The Holy Ghost lives in me. But you know how I've got help in my life? The great intercessor, Jesus Christ. And you know something, sir? You know something, ma'am? This intercessor, this advocate where Jesus said, I prayed for you, He would save you this morning if you'd come to Him by faith. He'd save you. Christian, you're battling things. I know somebody can get a prayer through. Jesus. This simply all you say, Lord, help me. Had a man called, one of my good friends. He lives out of state and he called me. He said, Brother Ken, I'm facing things in my life that's bigger than I am, preacher. And this is what I said. This is just old country preaching. It's all I know to be and do. This is what I said. I said, let me tell you, when I get where you are, this is what I do. I run into my altar and I pray out of my toenails. I mean, I grab a hole and I pray with everything I've got. I said, God, this is bigger than me. I got to have you to help me. And you know what? He helps me. This is what he said. He said, preacher, I need you to pray one of them toenail prayers. You need to dig down and pray this morning, won't you come?